Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And man, we're excited to be here today for another podcast episode. We're just hanging out with you guys, feet kicked up. Shira, how do you feel? How's your week been so far?
It's been good. I'm tired, though. Yeah. I mean, I'm not tired. I'm sweaty.
Yes.
Because I just took a little walk, and so.
Yeah, Shira walked to get our son. I told her she should drive, but she wanted to get her exercise on it.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I think that's awesome. But Shira, you know, we celebrated a milestone last week, and we kind of just brushed over it because our podcast was so, you know, fun, and we didn't even talk about it. But we reached our 100th episode.
Oh, yes. I didn't know where you were going with that. But yes, 100 episodes.
So we want to thank all of our listeners, everyone who's out there in Podcastville checking
thank
us out.
You. Thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you.
Because please believe, if y'all wasn't listening to the podcast, we wouldn't be recording.
No, you all keep us going.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Now, Shira, the milestone that I think you thought I was going to talk about was our 14-year anniversary.
Yes, that's what I thought you were going to say.
14 years, Shira. How do you feel about being married to Marcus Murray for 14 years?
We're still together.
That's all she can say. Nah, but we had a pretty good chill weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the kids with us, so it wasn't, it wasn't a honeymoon. But it was nice.
It was nice. We spent some time in the Bay, which was nice. And we went to, I think it's called Muir Park.
Muir Park.
You know, I might not be saying the name right, but we saw lots of tall trees. Okay. And it was really nice. We had good food. So anytime we go anywhere, I'm going to eat good, you know, so I'm looking at all the Yelp reviews. And so we ate well, we were in nature.
Yes.
And, it was nice.
Yeah. We were amongst the redwood.
The redwood.
Redwood trees.
The redwood forest.
Redwood forest, near San Francisco. So it was great, man. But we're excited to be on another podcast episode. Enough with the small chat. We want to kind of get into today's episode, which is we're excited because today we were featured, our first feature in a major publication with Business Insider. And they did a write up on us talking about our real estate journey. So we thought, hey, you know, it's a 100th episode. Let's go back to the genesis and let's kind of revisit our real estate story and revisit some of the content in the article. Shout out to Business Insider. But Shira, yeah, let's kind of get into it because a lot of people want to know how to get into real estate and they want to know how we did it.
Yeah, and we went about it in an unconventional way. Why don't you pull up the article so we can at least tell you the title in case you want to look at it yourself.
Yes.
You know, so the title is A Couple That Earns Passive Income from Three Rental Properties Says Two Strategic Decisions Help Them Buy Their First Place. So I guess it was really on covering our first place.
Yes.
And I like the story because we're still like in our beginning stages.
Yeah,
so it's not like, I mean, we hope to get there, but it's not, you know, sometimes when you see articles, you see someone that is already on top of the mountain.
Right.
And we are literally still climbing our way up. So
we're building the plane as we fly it.
Yes. Yeah, so it was good to share just our journey thus far.
Yes. Shout out to Liz. I don't want to butcher her name. Liz Newvin for the write-up for us.
I don't think that's her last
Liz,
name.
Liz, you know who you
y'all
are.
Y'all forgive him for his pronunciation.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, like Shira was saying, it was very unconventional. Now, Shira, I think I'm probably going to throw a wrench in your plans for this one. But let's just address the elephant in the room. Right? That's what we like to do
here. With the article?
With the article, with us, because some people are going to be reading the article and they're going to be like, wait.
Okay. But well, let's start with the article. So okay. I'm such a newbie. Like, we go back and forth on so many different things.
Yes.
I think the article is well written. I think she did an excellent job. Yeah. But it's funny because they asked us our name and we were like, do we want to say our last name? We opted not to. But I mean, if you want to be a private eye, I think you can figure out
right.
what our last name is. Plus, you announced it.
Yeah. I'm glad you're talking about the subject of names because I'm going to go somewhere. But yeah, it's just weird to type your name in Google and see stuff.
Oh, you know, Lord. It's still I got weird so much, for me. I have so much stuff out there. I don't even want y'all looking. Yeah, so just let me stop.
You know, in this world, we love, you know, who doesn't love to be noticed? But at the same time, it's kind of weird and creepy when it's like, type your full
when
name in
you.
And you can see everything about you.
Yeah. When it's you.
When it's you.
Yeah. And so I heard a saying that a woman reinvents herself every 7 years. So you will see different versions of me.
Yeah.
I might need to get some of that stuff cleaned up.
Right.
But I don't
scrub
know.
Scrub the internet. But anyway, so the name, Black Mary Dead Free, that's kind of what we like to present under, right? When we're mm-hmm. talking in this space that we talk to you all here on the podcast, YouTube, Instagram, we want to be Black Married and Debt Free, right? So someone may be reading this article and say, okay, I like that name, but it looks like you guys use some non-debt-free ways to get your real estate. What's that about?
Yeah, but honestly, I don't think anyone's going to put that connection together because of the title. So when I'm reading the title,
that makes sense.
I want the content, you know, so you know, but I think there will be some folks maybe who already follow us and say, oh, I didn't know they did that.
Right. So what do you say to those people, Shia? I want to get your,
I don't have anything to say.
Okay.
This is my journey. Okay. Yeah. Have we made some mistakes? Absolutely. If we didn't make mistakes, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah.
Hindsight is always 20/20, but in this case, I feel pretty good about the road that we took and I don't have any regrets about it.
I feel really good about the road we took, and I feel good about the name we chose, you know, because it represented where we were at a point in time, and I love the name. It just kind of rolls off the tongue now, right? So while we may, you know, have some mortgages on these rental properties, they're still cash flowing. They're paying themselves
That's
off.
That's business.
That's business. That's it's a business debt. Expense.
Yeah.
If you start a business, you're going to have to, you know, get some capital to run that business.
That's not a... I don't look at that as like consumer debt. Yes. I don't have a credit card.
I agree.
That I'm swiping the, you know.
I agree. Many money gurus don't even view mortgages as debt. Like some of our, we're not going to use any names, but some of our favorite money gurus, they don't even consider that debt. So
it is debt though.
To each his own.
You about to just turn this into
Let's
something
go, Shire.
Else because
you know I like
a mortgage is debt. It's debt until you have the deed. That's how I look at it.
Agreed.
But you talk about good debt, bad debt, and we have had different folks on our podcast that have different views. So I like to hear from other people as well and just have a variety of opinions and thoughts. And you just take what works for you. You know, it's not who am I to judge? I'm not judging nobody.
Who are we to judge? But anyway, back to our story. So,
okay.
We got our first property after we paid off. Or our first investment property after we paid off our primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
So after we hit that zero mark for debt, mortgage, and all that, we had some equity in that house, Shire. What did we do with that equity?
Oh, my goodness. We had a ton of equity.
A lot of people may have equity in their homes currently because the market is lit
But we said our house was paid off.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho, so what'd you say?
Yes. Back to how we got our first property. Our primary residence was paid off.
Yes.
It had a zero balance, and the equity in at that time had risen. I think I went and researched it. 172%, Shire, from the purchase price of our house to the sale price of that home. It was 172%.
Yeah, so, but we're not even at the sale.
We're not at the sale.
So
before we sold.
Yes. Yeah, so before we sold, we took out a home equity line of credit. Now, I'm not saying that anyone should run out and do that,
right.
But basically,
we're just telling our story.
We're telling our story. We don't have any HELOCs out right now,
yes.
So I don't want you to think, you know, we don't have that out anymore. But anywho, we took out a home equity line of credit. So we took, essentially it's like a loan against your home.
Yes, your home is the bank.
Your home is the bank.
Borrowing money from the home.
Right. The home's value. So that's what we did. And we got a little bit over $100,000. And we took that money cash. And, well, we didn't take it cash. Why I say that?
Right.
It was money in the bank.
It was money in the bank. And the cool thing, Shara, I want to highlight is a cash out refi is you're tapping into the equity of your home, but you get a check.
They cut you a check.
Boom. So right when they cut you that check, you have to start paying for that amount that was cut, right? Whether you've used the check or whether you're sitting on the check, it doesn't matter. The person who gave you the check says, you start owing me today. Mm-hmm. With the home equity line of credit, you only owe once you withdraw.
Right.
And then you can pay back and withdraw and pay back and withdraw.
Right.
So it was literally like a bank.
Yeah. So we didn't take a check. We didn't do that. No. Because number one, we didn't want to start paying back the money immediately. And number two, we only wanted to use what we needed.
Yes.
And taking a blank check, that would have been tough for me, especially after just paying off debt. You're ready to let your hair down. So we took out a home equity line of credit.
Want to highlight also, Shara, sorry not to
go
cut
ahead.
You off. Home equity lines of credit have lower interest rates because of the fact that they're not cutting you a fat check up front. So
okay.
If you get a cash out, your interest rate's going to be a little higher. Just wanted to point that out.
Good. And I don't know what the interest rates are looking like now, but that's what we did. Mm-hmm. But prior to doing that, we knew the area that we wanted to invest in. And we had already done all of our research. We pretty much had a plan in place. And
I have to ask you, why didn't we decide to invest where we live? Why didn't we want to be in our area?
Well, we would have had. Okay, so if we used the home equity line of credit, that would have only afforded us a down payment. And we would have had to have a mortgage to cover the cost of whatever it is we're purchasing. So the purpose of the HELOC for us was to buy something cash.
Yes.
And get it at a good price. Yes. So that's why we didn't do it that way. We invest out of state. If I could invest locally, I would do it.
We probably would.
We interviewed someone that did a couple episodes ago.
Episode 98.
Yeah. So they invest locally. Mm-hmm. They had a property as their primary residence. And when their family, you know, their family started to grow and they wanted to move up, then they would, you know, acquire another home loan, move out of that home into something new, and then use that place as their rental.
Right.
That's an excellent strategy.
Dope strategy.
That's an excellent strategy. Yeah. But for us, we knew what we wanted to do. We knew the price point we wanted to be at. And because we got a home equity line of credit, it cut out so much red tape. When you're a cash buyer, you don't have that long period of escrow. You don't have all that paperwork. We signed like 3 papers. Mm-hmm. Like closing was like 10 minutes,
yep.
You know. And so everything just moves so much quicker when you are dealing with cash. And obviously, after you spend that that money, as you were saying before, you have to start the payback.
Yes.
And so we had the income from that property would pay, you know, the HELOC down, and then we have extra money for cash flow.
So it was a business that was netting money. It wasn't a business, or it wasn't a debt that we were having to pay out of pocket. There was no out of pocket with this, right? So that's something to point out.
So that was a benefit, mm-hmm. because we didn't have to save money.
Right.
We didn't have, you know, it was ours.
It was already there.
We in a way became the bank.
And I think this article highlights that too, Shara, how, or it was something that I was reading, that sometimes a line of having equity in a home is just something that's there if you can't tap into it. And so we said, well, let's take advantage of that and use it to benefit us to start building wealth, because you take out the line of credit, you purchase a house cash, the renter pays you back enough to pay back that home equity line of credit and cash flow. So now you can start using that money to do what? invest in whatever you want, save, put it back into the house. So that was the wealth building process had begun. And so if we didn't do that, it would just, the house would have just been worth more, and it would have been great to talk about in theory and in conversation, but we put it to work for us.
Yeah. And I think that there are pros and cons to a home equity line of credit. You know, you have a rental property, so you have the challenges that may come along with, you know, having investment properties, having rental properties. Or another path we could have taken, because we use that income, we bought a whole house cash. Some people would say, well, why didn't you take the money and use it for several down payments on several properties? And so it's like, okay, why put $100K into one house when you can get five houses and put 20K on each one? And so
looking back, you think maybe we might have thought about that a little more deeper shot?
I don't know. I think we were just so happy to, you know, I would have definitely explored that, because I don't think that we explored that very deeply. But I will say that having that first house in cash really turned out to be a blessing. Eventually we did sell our condo, which paid off the HELOC. So we don't have that HELOC anymore. It's paid off. So is that home. Yes. So we own a home free and clear. And that has been a huge blessing with this whole COVID-19 thing, because in the event that the tenant wasn't able to pay, it's already paid for. I hope that they don't hear that, but it's already paid for, and it lowers our stress tremendously. And it's a nice home too.
Absolutely. And let's keep it 1,000, Shy. I mean, that cash flow is all ours now. And the turnover, or the compound of that monthly income, has afforded us to do what? Build the portfolio. And it's going to continue to do that, because we did step one, you know, which this article highlighted.
It's definitely not a traditional way. But thus far it has worked. And that's right now, it's our only paid off home. And the other two have, you know, smaller mortgages, but that is kind of our cash cow, so to speak. And one thing about this article, because it talks about us having three rental properties, and we are in escrow for a fourth. I will say that.
Yes, more to come on that.
Marcus will share on that, since he was doing stuff behind my back, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, but I like that the story really highlights, you know, that we're still early. We're still building, as you all are building as well. So we are growing together and sharing, sharing parts of our journey that we don't always talk about. Don't always talk about it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and I think Shire, to close, I think that's great, because a lot of people will just tell you, will just show you their highlights, but won't talk about the journey. Won't talk about the practice that goes into, you know, before you play the game, so to speak. So we want to definitely highlight that and kind of take you behind the scenes on like what we did to get our first property and how that has benefited us. And it's going to help us to build this real estate empire, Shire. That's what I'm calling it.
I think we should explore if someone is hearing this and thinking, wow, I never thought that that was an option, maybe to share a couple of pros and cons on doing that. I mean, we see now the housing market is going crazy, you know, and if you are already in a home, that home has probably grown in equity. But what are some pros and cons that you can share?
Great, Shire. Well, I'll say it, but the article also highlights that a home equity line of credit is usually something that is taken out to renovate a home, to make an addition to a home, to renovate a bathroom. Or those things don't pay you back. So
they add value to your home.
Add value to your home, but you're taking out value in your home to add value to your home.
Well,
I think it just makes
sometimes
feel
you good. Have to look at me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to decrease to increase. Now I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, you're right. But I don't necessarily fault people for doing that.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially
fault,
if you're adding value, you're getting ready to sell, yeah. And you can get more. It adds more value.
But I'm just speaking to, that's not what we did it for. We said let's take this and put it into something that's going to make us more money. And so that is one key thing that I would say. If you're going to use this for real estate purposes, you want to put it in. Don't put it into an asset that is not going to earn you money.
Okay.
Don't put it into a house that, man, I got to do this full flipping. Just run your numbers. Make sure your return on investment will be sufficient. Make sure it's worth it. Because if we've got a house that didn't give us enough rental income to cover that HELOC and we had to start coming out of pocket for the HELOC to make up the difference, that would have been a bad idea.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I think that you want to make sure you're not over leveraged.
There
so you don't want to have a mortgage on your primary home and then take out a HELOC. Now you're using the HELOC, you're responsible for the payment on that HELOC and a mortgage.
Yes.
So you just have to make sure it's something that you can afford to pay in the event that you're just getting started and you don't have a tenant right away. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to be careful with over-leveraging yourself.
And managing all those things. All right, let's go back to the scenario where, let's say if we got the 100K HELOC and we put 20% down on 5 homes. So now we're responsible for paying the HELOC back.
Yes, and all five of those homes. So that's 6 different payments.
So you got to, consider all that stuff. It could get interesting.
It can get very interesting, and you have to be really, really organized if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But this is not the only way to get into real estate.
Right.
With our other properties, we put down 20%, some through savings, some through grind, hustle, to save up
driving for Uber.
Like we did it all. You know what I'm saying? Or you did a lot of the driving. I was watching the kids. We don't get no credit for that. I'm preparing the meals and you're dropping off the meals.
I think one con to consider, Shire.
Okay.
I know you got to get out of here. One con to consider is that the HELOC needs to be paid off at the sale of the home. So we sold our home.
At the sale of your primary residence, whatever residence you have that HELOC on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we sold our home and man, we saw all this equity that we were going to get.
It was a lot.
It was a whole bunch. And we was like, okay, we're going to put this all on the new house. And then we had to remember, oh yeah, but they're going to pay that HELOC off. It's a line item in the HUD statement.
It's a line item.
It needs to be paid off. So
yeah,
it worked out for us though.
It definitely worked out, but that's something to consider. So if you're going to take out a home equity line of credit on the house that you're in and you plan to sell it soon,
you have to pay that back.
How do we leave that out? That's so important. There's more in the article. So we want you to check out the article for sure.
Article
I'm going to read the title one more time. It's called, A couple that earns passive income from 3 rental properties says 2 strategic decisions helped them to buy their first place. And no, we did not read out those strategic decisions. So you have to check out the article to get that.
Please do. So check us out. Before we go, this podcast was sponsored by Coldest Water Bottle. Y'all check this company out. This will be in the link of this description. And also the article will be in the link below. We gotta go.
But do it keep your water cold?
Keeps your water cold for 36 hours, Shire. Your warm's warm for 12 hours.
Okay.
So, definitely
I'm just asking.
Absolutely. And if you guys like this hoodie, you know what I mean? You can get that at the link below too. I gotta throw my plugs in here, guys. This is how we pay the podcast bills. So we out. Shire, any final words?
No, just have a great and amazing day. And thanks for hanging out with us.
Peace.
Bye.